The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Happy Monday, March the 20th. You have just kicked off a great week right here at 710 Kenwood. It's me, George Brockler, on The George Show. I am speaking to you live, not from the studio, that'll be tomorrow, but from a table here, a sweet-looking setup right here at an Albuquerque Marriott. As you know from last week, I had been on the road driving down. We had a spring break baseball tournament down in Tempe, Arizona that spilled into Scottsdale, and we are on the road back. For those of you that wonder if spring break's over, aren't two of your boys about to miss a day of school? The answer is an unequivocal yes. They will not be making it to school today. So in exchange for calling up the school and letting them know that they won't be making it, I'm just going to make the announcement here on the radio under Parenting Decisions 2023. There's one right there. Now, the weather today is just going to be great. 55 degrees. Tuesday, up 60 degrees. And then Wednesday, a rain-snow mix, but we're still at 55. In fact, the whole week that I'm looking at, until we get to Saturday when it starts to taper off and hits 46 and then down to 42 on Sunday, it looks like a great week to be outside and start thinking about maybe shaking a couple of those winter pounds off, because guess what today is, folks? It's the first day of spring. Boom. Spring begins today. So if you want to start thinking about fitting into that bikini or tankini, if you're Billy, outfit, it's time to get yourself together. Now, my trip so far has been a good one. It's just great to spend time with the boys. Jeff is 15, and he'll be 15 and a half next month. That's not true. He's already 15 and a half. So there's going to be a time when he just simply refuses to come on the road trips anymore with Pop. And so this was a good one to get. And we long drive, by the way, taking 25 to 40, 40 out to from Albuquerque all the way down to the Phoenix area. It's nice. It's pretty. And for anyone that tells you, hey, we're overpopulated, we're too crowded, take that drive or go, frankly, anywhere north or south of Colorado and tell yourself that same thing, because there's nothingness out there forever. A lot of McDonald's, but other than that, nothingness. And so we went out there, and the baseball tournament could have gone better. I mean, I love these boys. They are great guys. They've been together forever. They had a tournament the week before we got out here to Tempe. And honestly, they played great. And then we got out here to Tempe, and they got progressively worse. I don't know how that's humanly possible. But by the last game, and we played three California teams, and what you need to know about, you know, competitive baseball at this age is California and Arizona teams get a play all the time. We walked in having played one weekend tournament. These guys walked in having played 45 games already, because they get to start playing in like February because of the weather. And so it was really apparent, especially when it came to comfort at the plate, some fielding and stuff like that. But then by the last game yesterday, it just, there was a team we had beaten twice last year that got up on top of us in the first inning. And I thought, who are these kids out here? I mean, I've never thrown my hat. I threw my hat maybe twice during the game. Like, what in the world are we doing? Overthrows, swinging at pitches that were in the dirt. Like, it just, anyway, it was frustrating. So that ended, and then we quickly left town to find a whole long line of traffic on I-40 eastbound as we were making our way back to here, the beautiful queue, and that's where I am today. Billy, did you have a good weekend?
I don't know about good. You can tell I'm fighting an illness, and it's a horrible.
It's been going on for a bit, man.
It has been, and so that was difficult. So I don't think that it was necessarily a good weekend per se, but. It's been difficult. This weekend was a little rough, and Spencer goes back to school today. So that's a little bittersweet, because he's done with the spring break from college. The thing that was funny, though, and yesterday was my oldest son Max and I get up to watch his Manchester United Red Devils play in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, which is a tournament that goes on during the season. And we've talked briefly about soccer, but this was one of the most unusual things that I've seen happen in a long time inside of the game. Manchester is playing Fulham. Fulham is up 1-0 at this point in the game. And there is a play that goes on inside the box. Now, it is not immediately obvious, but through replays, it seems that the Fulham player goes and moves his right arm while it's close to his body. He does make a movement towards the ball and blocks the ball from going into the goal and knocks it out of bounds.
Feels like hands.
It is. They go back and they go back. And at first, they just called the referee called it a penalty kick. And the official that's doing the replay says, no, you got to go look at this in the replay because this might be a handball and we might need a penalty kick. So the ref is headed over to the VAR screen like they do for NFL, and he's jogging over there. The Fulham coach runs over and starts yelling at the referee. The referee turns around and red cards the coach. So the coach is thrown off of the bench. He has to leave the field. He goes over. He looks at the replay, and he goes up, and he makes the signal and goes, penalty, and then turns around and pulls out the red card and shows the player who swung his arm towards it and gives him an immediate red card. Because, again, if you are deliberately inside the box playing the ball with your hand in order to prevent the ball from going to the goal, that is an automatic red card. Yeah.
Did the guy pretend like it didn't happen?
Oh, yeah. Yes, immediately.
Like, are you crazy?
Well, this is, and the thing is that as soon as it happened, you're like, oh, I don't know if it hit his arm or not. But as soon as he started talking about what happened, you're like, oh, he's lying. He's lying, because he immediately turns to the ref and he holds his arm into his middle of his body and he points at his wrist. Hit me here. Hit me here. This is where it hit me. And you're like, oh, he's protesting too much. It was just the manner in which he was doing it.
Yeah. He doth protest too much? Did you just Shakespeare yourself?
Exactly.
On soccer?
Yeah. So he gets red carded for it. So the ref comes out and says penalty, gives the guy a red card. Alexander Mitrovic, who is a striker that plays for Fulham, has a little bit of a hot head. He comes over and he pushes the referee to turn him towards him and starts yelling in the referee's face. You can't touch the ref. The ref pulls out his third red card and goes, red card, you're off. So in a span of about
how
2 minutes...
How many cards can you give? Can you red card the whole world?
Yes, you can. Yeah, you can take off the... Yeah, you can red card the entire team. So in a span of about 3 minutes, Fulham lost their coach, their midfielder, and their striker. And Manchester went on to put 3 goals on them in the rest of the game. So it changed the game immediately.
Is it like hockey when you lose them, you're a man down on the field, or can you just backfill?
No, you can't backfill. They were, it was 9-on-11 for the final 50 minutes.
You missed them forever?
Yes, you cannot fill it. So it was 9-on-11.
So this is worse than hockey, because hockey, at least, it's like, you know, a major penalty is just a matter of minutes.
Yeah, no, you get red carded, you play a man down. And they played 2 man down and had the coach have to leave. So Fulham made a huge substitution. They changed out 4 players. They went in a defensive formation. Didn't help at all. But the thing is, they just don't have enough bodies to cover everybody on the field. And, you know, at that level, you're good enough. If you have not 1 man down is difficult. 2 men down, you can always find the free guy. So Manchester just worked them and won 3-1. So that was just, it was really unique to see. I haven't seen something like that devolve that quickly in a long, long, long time.
I like that. If the goalkeeper gets a red card, is that it? They can't have a goalie?
Well, actually, what you have to do is you have to play a man down. You can replace the goalie, but you have to play with a man down on the field. So that's the only time that you can actually replace the position.
Same thing for these dudes. They have to go 2 down, but they can manipulate the field how they want.
Yeah, they can move
players.
People around, but you only have that many players on the field at a time. So, it was awful. But it was very interesting. And Mitrovic used to play for my team, Newcastle, and so I know that he's a hothead. I know the kind of player he is. And as soon as he started running at the referee, I'm like, uh-oh. And he comes over pushes him, and you're like, oh, God. And the ref just reaches into his pocket, red card. You're like, oh, yeah.
Man, is there a record? Does they have someone calling and say, and the record is 7 red cards?
I don't know, but...
I don't know what accent that was, but it was not mine.
I don't know if there is a record. I don't know. I have to look as far, but as far as, in a single game. However, back in my playing days when I was a little bit younger, I played with a team that was, in club ball, we were a little... Let's just say rough around the edges. Let's just say that we were rough around the edges.
Hygiene issues?
No, manners on the field.
We actually
had to have a meeting with the Colorado Youth Soccer Association. Literally, a meeting in suits and everything, sitting there and had to have a presentation because our team had accumulated more red cards than the next team in line had accumulated yellow cards.
Could you be called? Yeah. Could your team name be the Red Cards?
It could be. It really could be.
Manchester Red Cards.
We were,
just to send a message.
Let's just say that. We may not have always won the game, but we won every damn fight. Every single one of them.
Right there. I don't know where that fits in the box score.
But yeah, that was the thing. Our team. You don't fight us. Yeah, don't do that. That's going to end badly for you.
That's what you want to be known for in soccer.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, first off, you can't really see the zeal that Billy's bringing to this if you're not on Rumble now. So you need to go to Rumble. Log in, of course. Sign up. It's easy. You put in like two or three pieces of information. None of them include your social security number or credit card information. Make up whoever the heck you are. I don't care. And then go search for 710KNUS, and you can see us right here on the video. I can see us on the StreamYard. I am on what I believe to be us, but we're like on hold or something. There's a 710KNUS something. We're not actually seeing our picture, but you can follow us. We'll have to figure out what's going on with Mark. The other thing you can do, though, is you can text us. That's easy to find at 710KNUS.com or the 710KNUS app. Already have our first Happy Monday. Thank you, Alexa. I hope you can talk about the developments in the Daniel Jurinski case today. I sent an email on it. Well, I'll have to check that. You know what? That's interesting, the developments in that case. I've had a conversation with Danielle. We might get to that. I'd rather have her talk about it than me talk about it, just because it's her. And she's no wilting flower. She's a smart lady. But you can communicate with us multiple different ways, and that'll be important as we work our way through the show today. Now, one of the stories that Billy is going to cover in the Thorpe Report, and that's coming up next, is going to involve something. If you haven't heard about this yet, it's coming. It's national news. I mean, I'm looking at articles from the New York Post, the Daily Beast. I mean, this thing has gone just about everywhere, and there's good reasons for it. I just want to make sure that we're on the same page as to what those good reasons are. Billy has the good doctor called in. Let's bring up our in-house dentist, and can we play that clip, because this is actually Dr. Julia's ringtone. Billy, do you have that? Waiting for I did not tell Billy I was going to ask him to fire this thing cold, so of course it takes some manipulation. Billy.
I got to mute some stuff. I didn't.
Billy's clicking the thing on the left. He's rubbing the thing on the right, and then ultimately, over time, we get to and I need more headspace here. All right, let's do it. I'd like to be a dentist. Dr. Julia, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Now, listen, first off, was that your favorite character growing up on the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer show?
Of course. For me, wants to be a dentist. Who doesn't?
I don't know, normal people. Julia, I think, doesn't want to be known as just a dentist, because she does way more than that. She, like, knocks people out, and she gets inside, and she fixes all the things. You know, I think it's called surgery or strategery or something like that. How long have you been doing that, doctor?
Probably since 2004.
I like that it's probably since. You've left the door open that I might have only been doing it since 2020, but probably 2004. Now, the story...
Well, you go through school for a long time to do facial trauma.
Well, and I presume there's a lot of self-medication that goes on there.
No, not really.
It's important.
I think that's against the law.
Are you trained in anesthesia or things like that?
Yes, we do have training in anesthesia, and most oral surgeons have a general anesthesia license as well as a deep sedation license.
And how often do you have to, like, test it at home?
Never.
Okay, I could clearly, you think somebody's going to listen to this show that has access to your licensure. Now, there's a story that Billy's going to tell us about that involves an Aurora dentist who, it appears, may have poisoned the mother of his six children. That's his wife. And now she's no longer with us. Would you tell us what kind of special training do oral surgeons or dentists have in poisoning?
We are not trained on how to poison people. We're trained actually how to make people comfortable and make people not remember any portion of their surgery.
Is that the goal, to not remember it?
Well, you don't want to remember 99.9% of people don't want to remember anything dental that's being done to them. And most people want to be comfortable and pain-free.
Well, the pain-free part I get, but the memory part, and I should tell you, Dr. Julia, that we have texts coming in here, people that listen to you. Here's this person will remain nameless for HIPAA reasons. Says, Dr. Julia is awesome. She took out my daughter's wisdom teeth. We love her, dot, dot, dot. My daughter just went in for a cleaning. So it sounds like it was sort of a, you went over the top. You provided them with a little more service than they needed, but they're thankful.
Oh, that's nice. Tell my patients thank you. We appreciate them.
But nobody remembers it because you've knocked them out using drugs.
That's the goal. That's how you want to have dentistry better through chemistry.
Listen, I want to know, like, if you could take the pain away, but I could watch what was going on, I'd like to see that. Why is that a downer? Why can't we do that?
Well, people don't really want to see what we're doing because there's usually blood involved, and most people don't enjoy that kind of imagery.
I'm okay with my own blood, less so the kids, but I'm okay with my own blood. But here's what I think's going on, and you don't have to pull back the curtain to show us what's going on there in the medical world of Oz, but I think the reason you knock these people out is because you do not want them to be able to hear you drop a utensil on the floor or to yell out, oops, or damn it, wrong tooth again. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want anyone to hear something like that. Like, holy smokes, well, I've immobilized the tongue.
No. We like patients to not have any recall because we can usually work faster. When we work faster, there's less swelling. When we work faster, there's less postoperative pain. When we work faster and we can be efficient, the patients aren't as stressed. So most people, unlike you, who want to see your own blood, the rest of our patients are probably pretty normal.
I'm just not opposed to it. I'm also not opposed to surreptitiously recording the surgery because we're a one-party consent state. I wonder, maybe that in the future, someone records the surgery so they can hear the staff saying things like, I wouldn't have picked that belt pants combo. Or you know what? Or like, my God, I think we just freed something up from Thanksgiving. Look at that. Is that a cranberry that has become part of a mashed potato? What is that? You know what I mean? Do you ever have conversations like that?
We usually do find things that are stuck in between teeth and that are not necessarily the most pleasant or
the worst.
Yeah.
Do you ever say things like that? That looks remarkably like human flesh?
No, we don't say things like that at all. We actually try to avoid any kind of negative connotations during the surgery. We try to make it lighthearted and happy and have music. And we don't try and make it an uncomfortable procedure for patients. Because we want them to text you and say how happy they were.
And that's what they've been doing. And here's someone else that just texted in, I want her to be my next dentist. And I think what Rick means is his first dentist. No, I'm kidding, Rick. I'm sure that you've got wonderful teeth. I think what I've taken away from this conversation is, and you can fill in the blank here, if I were going to poison my spouse, I would use, what's that substance?
Oh, I don't want to poison my spouse. That would be bad.
By the way, music to his ears.
You're not trained to end people's lives. You're trained to have pharmaceutical training to make their lives more comfortable and pain-free. So we don't get training on how to administer a lethal dose. That's not a practice builder.
It seems like, I think what I hear you saying is that this dentist who is going to be accused of poisoning to death his wife didn't actually live up to the standards of the practice.
Probably not. And it's probably not going to be a
probably.
Practice. I sound like an attorney because I know on your introduction it says that lawyers and congressmen
and
doctors are the worst
in
professions.
That order. Right.
In that order. And I'm trying to avoid people thinking that doctors are bad. We actually do try and help our patients. So
I think the other thing people ought to know legitimately is we're not reaching you in some sort of a alcohol-stained bathrobe in the basement or something of your house. You're actually at the office getting ready for a day's worth of like heavy lifting, like surgeries and stuff.
I've been at the office since 4 o'clock this morning.
I'm
doing paperwork.
Is that normal?
No, but I usually get here pretty early. That's why I always listen to your show in the morning.
The same guy that wants you to be his next dentist says, I don't want George in the same state as me. And I think by state, he means either sobriety or awareness. I don't think he means Colorado because I'm not in Colorado right now. Look, Dr. Julia, we're going to have you on. As this story develops and we learn whatever that substance is that this guy used to potentially murder his wife, I'd love to have you on to talk us through how you would do it. No, I'm kidding. We'll have you on we'll have you on in the future to talk all things dentist.
All right. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling me this morning and asking for my opinion.
Good luck today. Keep up the great work. You're clearly great at what you do.
Thank you. Have a good day.
See ya. That's Dr. Julia. I was really hoping that she would reveal that there's some special training. You know how like at Hogwarts, Billy, they have the practitioners of the dark arts and they have the potions and all that stuff.
Yeah.
In my mind, I thought the dentist school, the Hogwarts of dentistry, they would have a class on here are poisons not to use if you want to keep your patient alive. And it turns out that's not true.
Yeah, I was surprised that's not it. And there aren't things like here are the special places in the mouth that you poke that it hurts the most. And then also
I should have asked that.
And the other one is how to the best questions to ask your patients when you have a mouthful of crap and they can't answer. I think that's another one. There's always those questions.
Or when you put them under, is there a truth serum aspect to this? We need to jot these down for the next time we get Dr. Julian. The other one is we have that dentist sound that I want to be a dentist.
Yes.
I like that. But I think we're going to have to slowly transition here into Marathon Man with Laurence Olivier as Zell. You know what that is?
Yes.
It safe? We've got to play that thing right there.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, we got to cut away for a break. When we come back, of course, it's going to be the best part of the morning show. And that takes place early. That's a reward to you folks who are either up at 6 listening or you jump on that first hour of the podcast. That's called The Thorpe Report, and you choose the news. Stick around. George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. We are here, Everlong, Foo Fighters, George Brockler, 710 KNUS. My thanks to Dr. Julia for risking not only her licensure, but also future and current clientele. Although, based off the texts, people seem to like her. It's interesting to me. It's a little uncomfortable. We've got, oh my gosh, Alexa. The worst place for a shot in your mouth is the roof of your mouth. Why in the world would you have a shot in the roof of your mouth? It makes a different sound than a needle in your cheek or gums. What's going on in your face that you have to have a shot in the roof of your mouth? Sweet goodness, maybe that's the surgery piece of it. Listen, we're going to get into the meat of that case right now as we get into the juicy part of the morning show, and that, of course, is the Thorpe Report, and you choose the news without further ado. William.
Good morning, sir. As you were just talking about, an Aurora dentist was arrested for allegedly poisoning his wife in what police call a heinous, complex, and calculated murder. Officers arrested James Tolliver Craig, 45, early Sunday morning and booked him into jail on charges of first-degree murder. Police are accusing the man of poisoning his 43-year-old wife, who died Saturday at a local hospital. The type of poison allegedly used in the murder has not been disclosed yet. According to the police, it was around 8:45 on Wednesday when Craig drove his wife to local hospital because she was complaining of severe headaches and dizziness. Shortly after arriving at the hospital, the wife's condition deteriorated rapidly. She was placed on a ventilator in an intensive care unit, and then she was declared medically brain dead a short time later. That's according to a department release. The Aurora Police said an investigation was launched very soon after the wife's sudden illness, and an arrest warrant was obtained early Sunday morning, shortly after doctors decided to take the victim off of life support. According to the website, Craig practices dentistry at Summerbrook Dental Group. That's located at 14991 East Hamden Avenue in Aurora. That's just a stone's throw away from our very studios. Dr. Craig's bio states that he has 6 children with his wife and graduated from dental school at the University of Missouri at Kansas City and has been the Thorpe family doctor for the past 15 years.
We tried to look up his website at Summer something or other.
You missed that last part, didn't you?
What's that?
He's my dentist.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. That's what I said. The very last line there. You weren't listening. He's the Billy. Thorpe family dentist. He's been the Thorpe family dentist for 15 years.
The dude that just killed his
yes.
wife?
Yes.
Billy, why didn't you tell me that off air?
Because I wanted to do this on air. This is about the show. This is the
Holy
reason.
Holy crap. He's, he's been in your mouth?
Yes. He's had his hands in my mouth, which explains a lot of things.
Billy, now, why didn't we interview you? We needed Dr. Julia. But for,
no, we
let's
needed
get
Dr.
right
Julia.
To it. Now, when this guy is in your mouth, is he saying things like, is he going Rodney Dangerfield
no,
or some sort of comedian about his wife? Like, I get no respect at home.
You know,
no
it's that weird thing that, you know, he's been kind of, he's been a nice dude. I mean, it's one of those things that I had a bad dental experience with a dentist in the DTC area about 15 years ago, and I was looking for a new dentist, and this person said, hey, try this person, and I'm like, oh, that sucked, and this person was, oddly enough, doing some advertising at a radio station where I worked, and I was working on the advertisements for him, and
this
we sat down.
This dude was an advertiser?
Yeah, I sat down, I sat down, had a long conversation with him, you know, learned about the family, learned about the kids, I wrote advertisements for them.
What did
stuff
he
that went
say
both
about
on
his
air.
Wife?
He loved
she
her,
breathes
but again,
too much.
This was it was like 15 years ago is when I started working with him,
and
I have been a regular patient, and I have sent friends to this dentist's office,
killer.
And so yeah, I was texting them last night, and I haven't had him personally do any work on me in about 3 years. Is basically what is I've only every time I've been in his partner, a nice female doctor, has come in and done the work there.
She's
so
still
I
alive.
Haven't, as far as I know, at least as of a couple of months ago. Yes.
What about your family members? Have they commented on like? You know, he's constantly talking about his wife. She must really annoy him.
He was really nice, and again, none of us have really seen Dr. Craig more than. You know, tangentially the last couple of years, and it was a little different. And I will say that, I'm going to try to read the tea leaves and read into things that I know, but the attention to detail and care in the last few years at the office has slipped. There were some longtime dental hygienists, people, you know, hygienists.
They left a toothpick in your mouth or something?
Well, no,
or?
it's the idea of there are certain things that once you work in the service industry that you begin to watch, you begin to look for. Part of it is, you know, things like how they treat you at the front desk, how their response is based on emails. Also, I want to look at long tenure of employees. And he had a large number of dental hygienists that were tenured, that were there for 8, 9, 10 years.
Wow.
And then there was a rapid turnover. And there's somewhat of a rapid turnover. I would say the last 4 years or so, the turnover has been more significant.
Your
so,
math's pretty good because it looks like he filed for bankruptcy on July 1st, 2020.
There we go.
So that may be leading. That may have been the result of all of that stuff. And then he files for bankruptcy. Things get stressful. And that's what happens. Things get stressful at home and you kill someone.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing is, you know, so I've had lots of conversations. Again, haven't probably talked to him one-on-one in 3 years, probably. But this is really weird because I've had long, long, long conversations with him. And again, been the family dentist for 15 years. My wife goes there. My oldest son goes there. And I go there. And this is really weird.
I feel really like, Billy, maybe it's time to start thinking about another practice.
Hey, you know, don't think that I didn't Google Twin Aspen Dental just yesterday, just because.
Now, Dr. Julia said off air, she's like, listen, I mean, morbidly, she's like, his partner will inherit the entire practice most likely because there's no spouse to take from his. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but how do you possibly continue? And again, it's convenient for me, and the people there were nice. But again, it was about, I'd say about 3 years ago where there was a drastic changeover. And there were a couple of dentists. There was one dental hygienist. She was really, really good. She talked incessantly, but she was fantastic. And I enjoyed my time with her. I mean, it was long. I mean, she just, I could not believe. You think I talk a lot. Yeah. But when she left, well, that was the one person that I'm like, wait a minute. And there were a couple of others that had been there a long time. But she was 8 or 9 years in and top notch as far as her work product. And when she wasn't there anymore, I went, huh. That was the one that when I noticed that she wasn't there the last couple of times I'd been there, and there were a couple of others that had been there long terms that I had, you know, I'd gotten to know the front desk receptionists and stuff. And yeah, the fact that there was a significant turnover in the staff made me think that something's a little wonky. And the last time my wife visited there, it was not a good experience. So we actually, for the last like 5 months, have been shopping
around.
Not
a good experience because he tried to poison her?
Yeah, he said, here, take these pills and then have this, and I have this little. No, I'm kidding. Just the experience was the again, the employees, the skill, and the people that were working side of her mouth did some really just it wasn't up to par. It wasn't up to the usual
Billy,
standards.
I am so sorry. So, we've derailed the Thorpe Report, but you are an interviewed patient.
Yeah,
this is too important. We can't just let this go.
I know an alleged murderer. It's crazy. Yeah, it is really weird.
And
it is bizarre.
When you say alleged, we call
for legal
purposes. Pre-convicted.
It's for legal purposes. So we don't get sued here at the station.
Buddy, fascinating. Yeah. We may have to revisit this as the case progresses.
I know. Tell me about
our guy in the chair.
And it's not.
You know what I mean?
And it's
like
just, and it's not like I just was this patient. You know, we're talking. I sat down with him when the Summerbrook Dental Group was starting
you got
out,
to know him.
And I wrote advertisements for him. So I have a little bit of a deeper connection. I mean, we talk about kids.
Do you have any kind of a temper?
No, not that I saw at all. But again,
never said anything like, "I'm so mad I could poison someone."
I'm so mad did I kill someone? Yeah, no, I never saw any of that. But again, I would say last 3 years things have been different. And again, even to how I heard him speaking with staff, communication, it just wasn't the same thing. And you know, we'd been looking for a place, so I guess now we're looking, really, really, really looking.
Let me finish up the rest of the stuff here.
Yeah.
According to Dr. Julia, this is not normal. Dentists don't normally kill their spouses.
Oh, good. They just kill their patients. Is that the thing that we...
Just hopefully. Just,
I'm questioning. I'm sorry. Elsewhere in the news, police in Aurora are investigating a shooting from passing motorists involving two boys that were playing with a toy gun on Friday evening. Police said the boys, who were 10 and 11, were firing pellets from a pellet gun at passing cars. And it happened in the 200 block of South Tucson Circle. The driver of a Subaru hatchback fired back. A single round came out of a handgun, grazing the leg of one of the boys. Injured boy taken to the hospital. Parents were evaluated by the doctors. Police are asking for anybody with information about the incident to contact them. Elsewhere, Inglewood police officers shot and killed an armed man who said he threatened a 911 caller. Police officers were not injured at all. It happened Saturday afternoon. South Broadway and East Oxford Avenue is the area. Police were called around 12:40 p.m. to the U Motel on a report that the suspect was pointing a gun at the 911 caller and threatening to rob and shoot the caller before the suspect took off. When police arrived, they spotted the suspect. He took off on foot through an alley, and police shot and killed the man. Police transported the suspect to the hospital. He was later pronounced dead.
Shootings.
I know, a lot of shootings. Search and rescue efforts were underway near Aspen on Sunday afternoon after a large avalanche was triggered outside the ski boundary area of Aspen Highlands. One person was killed in the slide. Sheriff's office said early reports indicate multiple skiers have been caught in the avalanche. And elsewhere, downtown Denver institution announced it's going to be closing after 20 years in business. The Blake Street Tavern said they are closing.
Man.
Reason is not given. They've been
iconic.
Yeah, it is. The bar is going to be open for a Rockies opening day on April 6th, but is going to close several days afterwards. So kind of sad. I've been there a lot of times. So.
That is sad, but that's sort of a trend, too.
Again,
I just don't know the state of the health of the economy in Denver, but given everything that we talk about on the show all the time, man, it feels like it's just such a different city than growing up. And in fact, in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to have Kwame Spearman on, who I really enjoyed getting to know that guy and talking to him on the radio. I thought he would have been a fantastic candidate in the final two and maybe even a great mayor, but we're not going to get to know that. We're going to talk with him about some decisions that he made last week and why. as well as what's going to happen with Denver. But we need to cut away for a break because we have to come back and provide ample opportunity for Billy to turn that frown upside down with You Choose the News. It's George Brockler on The George Show. You're listening to 710 KNUS. George Brockler, right back with you here, 710 KNUS. My thanks to our last interview. That was William Thorpe, who called in from inside the producer's booth there to reveal to us that he may be a character witness for, I think, future alleged murderer, Dr. Craig, who is the dentist that has been working on Billy and his family for lo these many years. But we've got to get to the good stuff, and that is called You Choose the News, Billy.
Ah, good morning, sir. Yes, it is that time once again where we get to play everybody's favorite fake radio news game show, You Choose the News, where we have scoured the interwebs for ridiculous stories, giving them really stupid headlines to play this fake radio news game, because for some reason, they're still paying us to do it. Yes, we have a pocket guide for you to improve your life in just a few minutes, but first, before we can talk about that, we must play the game. Alrighty, sir, here are your headlines this morning. Headline number one. Hey, kid, want some candy? Headline number two, modern-day Robin Hood. Headline number three, repeat achievement unlocked. And headline number four, move over purple stuff. All righty, your headlines again this morning are, hey, kid, want some candy? Modern-day Robin Hood, repeat achievement unlocked, and move over purple stuff. Your choice.
Only out of perverse curiosity and the risk of canceling the show through the FCC, kid, you want some candy?
Hey, kid, want some candy? Well, police were recently going around the town of Hanover, Ontario, looking for an older man who was offering kids some free candy. Yes, Hanover police said they were investigating a suspicious older male who reportedly was driving around the neighborhood when he pulled over, approached a young man walking home from school, and said, hey, kid, want some candy? It wasn't just any candy. It actually was a box of Pot of Gold chocolates. Yes, it was an assorted flavor of all sorts of deliciousness inside. But the student said, no, sir, I have parents that have taught me properly. So he refused it and then reported it to the police. Well, the man said, you know, you could just give the candies to your mom. And he said, that's a little creepy. Leave me alone. Well, in the news release, police said they actually tracked down the man. And his intentions were not nefarious.
Oh, what?
The man was actually motivated by Random Act of Kindness Day, and he was handing out chocolates to people of varying ages for just random reasons. He thought the kid looked like he might want to have some chocolate and just was trying to be nice. He wasn't trying to be a creepy guy and genuine, but yeah. So instead of it being some sort of weird, hey, kid, want some candy, he was just trying to be nice to the kid, but because of the day and age we live in, you can't be nice to the kids. So
This, by the way, is what happens when all of the evil bad people that are out there engage in behavior that makes us question this.
Exactly.
It makes me wonder, not what would Jesus do, but what would we do to Jesus, right? Like, if somebody came back, we'd be like, you crazy MF-er. There's no chance.
Yeah. We had a topic recently where we were talking, it was last week, where the supposition, when you're talking about the booby traps, and it was interesting to hear where people started with on that spectrum, because there were a group of people listening to the show, and their supposition was to start with, these people approaching my house are coming here to hurt me, rather than the other people that were assuming these people are coming to my house to just, you know, leave me a flyer or something else. I thought it was interesting. All righty.
Keep going. Sorry,
second choice, sir. Modern day Robin Hood, repeat achievement unlocked, or move over purple stuff?
Video games are my life.
Repeat achievement unlocked. Here we're going to York County, Pennsylvania, because a person in York County, Pennsylvania unlocked a very special achievement recently. This is according to the Newberry Township Police Department. It happened on March 6th, right around 9:30 in the evening. A 23-year-old was driving down the first block of Pennsylvania Avenue in York Haven Borough when he was pulled over for DUI. Yeah, 23-year-old just given a, it was a traffic stop, so he was booked for DUI, and they were being, and he was processed under the influence and gave related charges. Well, approximately 5 hours later, right around 2:24 in the morning, York County police received a 911 report of a person having problems operating their vehicle at the scene of Pennsylvania Avenue in York Haven Borough. Well, the call occurred a short time, and after the first 23-year-old was released from the booking center, they went back over, and they determined that the still intoxicated individual was trying once again to operate their motor vehicle, resulting in the not first but second DUI charge in less than 5 hours.
So two
DUI charges in 5 hours.
It's natural selection, friend.
Achievement unlocked.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
I know. Okay.
I know. It's like, I was booked in, and it's got me driving drunk, and I need to go home. Best thing to do is for me to drop the car.
The decisions that are made by drunk people regarding their own cars and stuff, and we can laugh about it when it doesn't result in some sort of serious injury or death, but some of the decisions that they make are just insane.
It is, It's like, how'd
you get
there?
The car stopped in the middle of the highway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is where I'm going to nod off.
I need to, right here. This is where I need to check my oil. Yeah.
Or the ones where the cops, this is real, where the cops come up and tap on the window, dude's passed out behind the wheel, pants down. Like, what?
Yeah.
What was going on?
Yeah, what were you doing at that point?
We got to go back in time. I need to know what was the moment that you were like, am I going to drive the car or myself?
Yes,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? Like, what are you doing?
These pants are annoying me. This is impeding my ability to pilot this motor vehicle.
And usually this isn't my thing when there's drugs found.
Yeah.
So we have had the chance of these aren't my pants when there are drugs found in someone's pants.
Oh, that's great. Oh, final choice, sir, this morning, modern day Robin Hood or move over purple stuff. I know.
Modern day Robin Hood. We're going to stay with crime.
Modern day Robin Hood. Here we're going all the way to Australia, where a former Adelaide prison boss is going to spend several more years behind bars because he wasn't taking care of the prisoners. He was taking care of their money. In fact, he stole almost $100,000 and seized prisoner money and petty cash. He owed about $160,000 to the Australian Taxation Office, so he decided the best way to earn the money back is to start gambling. He was gambling about $47,000 a year between the periods of 2016 in 2021, but in 2022, his addiction spiraled to more than $1 million in stolen money. He gambled at one time more than $100,000 in just a 15-day period. He has been since arrested and is now spending time in jail. So, unfortunately, that is the end of today's game show. Yes, it's the end of You Choose the News, and as always, George is our winner, and today you can get 20% off the Pocket Guide to Pickpocketing. Yes, make sure that when you're in that busy subway and train station, or even in the elevator, make new friends and steal their stuff. You can do it for half price today. The operators are standing by. Make sure you get the Pocket Guide to Pickpocketing at better bookstores everywhere. Back to you, sir.
Buddy, good stuff there. And that means we have a purple thing, move over purple thing, for the loser edition of the show, I think, this Friday. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. Listen, before we cut away, and I don't know how many seconds I have left, I just want to remind you some good news. Team USA in the finals for the World Baseball Classic. They are, of course, defending world champions. They await the victor of the Mexico-Japan game. I think everyone wants to see Japan so we can see Ohtani take on the U.S. That guy's a little bit of a wizard. Not the MVP, of course. That's Aaron Judge, New York Yankee. But good news for America here that we're showing up big time in the World Baseball Classic. Now, we're going to cut away. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Ryan Brackley. Ryan is one of the best trial attorneys you can find, former Manhattan DA. He's going to talk to us about some of the procedures and stuff that go on there when it involves things like Donald Trump. Hey, stick around. George Brackley on The George Show, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.